Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Quorum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. We're back today with Alan Aragon to take a deep dive into how exercise impacts fat loss. As a veteran nutrition researcher and educator, Alan brings a wealth of knowledge on how to use resistance training to preserve muscle, control blood glucose, and make the most of your calories while dieting. We'll also touch on occlusion training, something I'm really interested in, and I'll be doing a podcast on in the near future. But before we get started, please take 5 seconds and leave us a rating on whichever listening platform you're joining us from. If you could just do this, take a moment. It would mean a lot to me and the team behind The Blueprint because it helps us grow the show and bring on fantastic guests. All right, let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best. Is there a specific workout regimen or heuristics that people should follow when they're losing weight?
You know, the short answer to that, Eric, is most people have a tough time managing total caloric intake if they have just very little to work with in that department. So if your overall energy expenditure is very low, we would take an extreme example of somebody who's bedridden and can't do any formal physical activity at all. Then they're limited to eating basically their what is the equivalent of their resting metabolic rate. And that's just going to wear on people's tolerance as far as just being too little food in the course of the day, in the course of the week. It'll be like, God, I can barely eat anything to maintain this. So generally speaking, if somebody can do some kind of formal physical activity at least 3 days a week, then it'll give them some more leeway to eat more than just their bedridden caloric intake maintenance. So I think that's really kind of as specific as I want to get, because most people can commit to 3 formal training days a week. I mean, there's a bunch of heuristics floating around like, oh yeah, 10,000 steps a day and all this stuff, which is the equivalent of walking 5 miles a day. And there are huge swaths of the population who cannot do that for various reasons, whether it's orthopedic or psychological or schedule constraints. That's just not going to happen. So that is an interesting question. But I think that people should just generally keep in mind that the less physical activity you can commit to, then the harder you're going to have to try to be dieting and the less that you can realistically eat without gaining weight. So if you kind of keep that principle in mind, then it might motivate you to be physically active on more than 3 days a week. Hey, possibly 4 to 5. And for some people, 6 days a week, you'll be physically active while you took the 7th day off like the Lord did, you know?
Yes. You know, I appreciate your practicality with all of the biohacking and just things that I see that make health inequitable. I really appreciate your measured approach to this. Because I look at the literature and like there's some really good literature on, like, let's say you're eating in a caloric maintenance or surplus and you're trying to add weight and from resistance training, like we know we want to hit X amount of working sets per week, the closer you can get to, like, if we've been training, if you're a trained individual, closer you can get to failure without actually failing. Schoenfeld's research is pretty good on this topic. When it comes to resistance training, though, will that help stave off muscle loss? Just like if we can do a couple resistance training sessions a week, isn't that kind of forcing or at least telling your body, hey, I need this?
Yeah.
Because I'm having to lift heavy stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm all on board with hypertrophy oriented training if the goal is to optimize the fat loss process and optimize the maintenance of a leaner body composition. And that's because when your training is oriented towards hypertrophy, you're always going to default towards at least preserving that muscle tissue during times of deficit. And so there's a recent systematic review and meta-analysis that was done where they narrowed down this optimal total weekly set volume per muscle group, the optimal range being 12 to 20 sets. That would maximize muscle hypertrophy. And most people in the real world are probably able to do the 12 set per week type of model. So the lower range of that 12 to 20 is what people in who are pretty well trained and more advanced, but still working adults would be able to pull off in the course of a week. But yeah, I'm all on board for a hypertrophy type of focus where you're essentially using muscles or you're forcing the muscles to adapt in a way that enables them to best use calories and nutrients incoming. So when you train the muscles for hypertrophy, you end up keeping them and you have the best use of metabolic fuels and the best partitioning of incoming metabolic fuels. In other words, you are better directing or trafficking them towards the lean tissue rather than the fat tissue when your training focus is hypertrophy. And that's not everybody's thing, but that's kind of the reality of the matter. There's an interesting line of research showing that resistance training is actually more effective for improving glucose control than aerobic training is. But that kind of makes sense when you realize that skeletal muscle is the primary disposal site for glucose anyway.
Have you heard about collagen peptides? No, it's not something you inject, but a short chain amino acid that comes from the collagen of animals. You can actually take it as a supplement, and I've been using it regularly for a few months, and it's made a huge difference in joint pain, my skin health, and the research on this stuff is amazing. A recent randomized control trial demonstrated that 12 weeks of supplementation with collagen peptides reduced pain at rest and during daily activities such as walking, climbing stairs, kneeling down, in healthy adults experiencing hip and knee joint discomfort. And that is probably a lot of us. My wife is even using it now. We use it in our coffee every morning. It dissolves quickly and you really can't even taste it. And my preferred collagen supplement is Bubs. I recently had their founder on the Blueprint and I absolutely fell in love with their story. Their products are fantastic. As a matter of fact, I've been traveling with them now and you can get a 20% discount when you use the code Blueprint in all caps and the special link in the show notes. Check it out. I think this is a supplement, one of the few supplements that has a lot of good research behind it that I'm actually recommending. So give it a try, see if it works for you. Have you experimented much with BFR, blood flow restriction?
I personally have not. Have not.
I've been tinkering with it because there is a lot of good literature on this right now. As I'm aging, I don't want to just destroy my joints. And I'm also prone to tendonitis. And so I've been tinkering with this and doing a bunch of research on it. And one of my friends who's a director of sports medicine in the NFL, we walk several times a week together and we just chat. And I've started using it. I absolutely love it. And right now for me, when I'm traveling or when I'm on this kind of weight loss regimen, and you just don't want to lift heavy, heavy loads sometimes when you're losing weight, like your energy's down already. I found that BFR is a really good way to kind of stimulate some of the same pathways with a lighter load. And it's a little bit painful because of the occlusion and because of the volume, but you're working with a 30 to 40% 1RM. And so it's not just crushing my joints and I'm really liking it. So anyways, maybe something you want to check out personally, but with AIM-7 now, we're working a lot with pickleball players and aging populations. And I just got fascinated with like, how can we get them to start doing some more resistance training? And a colleague of mine, he just sent me a Dropbox full of the data that they have. And I'm like, wow, this is really fascinating stuff. So anyways.
Yeah, it's an interesting area.
Energy drinks.
It is an interesting area. And I like to tell myself that I could possibly mimic the effects of blood flow restriction training by doing more drop sets and supersets. I know it can't be completely duplicated, but I'm one of these folks who's kind of personally averse to the idea. And that's why I haven't
Yeah, oh, really?
I hate that. I think of it as like training with tourniquets on, you know? So
there's some contraindications for people that have, you know, blood clot issues or whatever. I don't know if you've read much literature on it. Maybe it's something for your next research review.
I'm aware that,
but we started
I'm aware
using
that you
this.
Can use light loads and get really kind of these amplified effects. And I'm aware of the benefits, and I'm aware of the applications in older and injured populations and people who are forced into using lighter loads. I just personally don't see myself putting on the cuffs. But you know what, man? Like, I'm never going to say never. It's not like with cold plunges where
I kind of like
it. Cold plunges, I can confidently tell you that I'll just watch everybody do their cold plunges and I'll never do it. But with you know, with occlusion training, I might try it.
We got one more show coming up with Alan soon. We're going to be talking about pre-workout supplements. We're going to be talking about caffeine, nootropics. And if you missed the last one we did, episode 472 on his tier deficit approach to weight loss, you need to go check it out. Until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.